relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
He's so thoughtful, isn't he? That's President Trump. Did you catch our interview with him on Thursday? He was on for a whole half an hour. We blew through the breaks because we had so much to talk to with my former boss. If you missed it, why? Where were you on Thursday? Don't worry. You can find it everywhere on Rumble, on our Spotify podcast, on my social media accounts. Be sure to be subscribed. Go to Spotify, plug in America First, Sebastian Gorka. Subscribe today. Look for the interview with President Trump. You won't miss a thing if you're subscribed. Write a review. It does help. And share the links. Likewise, follow us on all social media platforms. We're everywhere except YouTube because they're fascists. So Twitter, Truth Social, you name it, we are there. We are on Instagram, Facebook. You will find the interview with the president there as well. I hope you had a blessed Memorial Day weekend. We salute our troops, our veterans here on America First, and we are delighted to have with us a perfect guest to discuss matters geopolitical, matters military. He is a regular guest with us here on America First, but now we have him one-on-one. He has served this nation in two different arms of service. He'll explain how that happened. Rose to the heights of the Pentagon, responsible for readiness of all our military, and then to the cabinet level inside the Trump administration. He's former Veterans Affairs Secretary Robert Wilkie, now Newsmax senior national security correspondent. Welcome in studio for one-on-one, Secretary.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for mentioning Memorial Day. We tend to get that confused with Veterans Day.
Yes.
This day honors the 1 million Americans who've given their lives since the first shots were fired at Lexington in April of 1775. That's 1 million out of the 41 million who have served since the Revolution. It is an incredibly important day. It was given to us by President Lincoln, and it is one that all Americans, a day that they should stop and pause and give thanks.
I'd like to use this opportunity because usually we have to dive in. We only have two segments with you. There's a war going on in Europe.
Right.
We have to talk about what's happening everywhere else in the world. Now we have a little bit more luxury, a little bit of luxury of time. Would you share with us your fascinating backstory, how you ended up serving in two different arms of the armed services, who your father was, and also, I think, one of the connections between us, where you spent some of your formative years as a child?
Well, I'm very proud to be the son of a very highly decorated combat soldier. My father was a senior officer in the 82nd Airborne Division. But prior to that, in my high school years, he was terribly wounded in the invasion of Cambodia. Huge man for his day, 6'2", 240. Today, that's not even a quarterback, but in 1970, that's a big man.
Right.
He was shot to pieces in Cambodia. Spent a year in an army hospital, and when we saw him again, he weighed 125 pounds.
Wow.
The good graces of the great Creighton Abrams overruled the medical discharge board. Said, no, we're going to send this officer to England.
They wanted to invalid him out?
Right. Let him recover. Let him teach in England at the artillery school. Then, after 2 years, we'll make him liaison to the 16th Para, which is now the Royal Parachute Regiment in Aldershot. And that's how I ended up in England as a child and at Salisbury Cathedral as a chorister. In terms of service, serving in two branches is not unusual in the United States because we have elements in our armed forces that the rest of the world does not. We have a National Guard. We have a robust reserve component. And people, particularly on the Army side, move back and forth between Army and Air Force. I moved from Navy to Air Force. I was ratcheting down my naval service when I became Assistant Secretary under Donald Rumsfeld. I shouldn't have done it because it kept me grounded. And then I ended up in the Air Force. Very modest service compared to my ancestors. I'll give you an example of how it impacts me. I'm the first Wilkie male since the war with Mexico who is not an artilleryman.
Oh, my gosh.
But it gets worse.
Were you the black sheep,
I
Robert?
That's right, but I have my hearing. My mother's grandfather, my great-grandfather, young lieutenant, 1st Battalion, 320th Field Artillery of the 82nd Infantry Division during the Meuse-Argonne. 60 years later, my father commanded the 320th Field Artillery of the 82nd Airborne Division. But why is that important? I grew up watching men who had sacrificed enormously for their country and was surrounded, and also in Britain, surrounded by men who had served in World War II. In Britain, not only served in World War II, but had been with the Indian Army, and I heard those tales. I was privileged to meet some of the most accomplished soldiers of the 20th century in Britain, Sir Brian Horrocks, who led the Guards Armor, the 30 Corps, to the rescue of the 101st and 82nd Airborne during Market Garden. He didn't make it to the British 1st Airborne. A very dynamic soldier. I met Matthew Ridgway and James Gavin, of course, Creighton Abrams, and listened to their stories. But one, let me talk about one event. And it was brought home to me when I watched Afghanistan collapse under this president. I saw accomplished soldiers at Fort Bragg with tears in their eyes, watching the helicopters leave the embassy in Saigon. And I never thought we would see a day like that again. Of course, at that time, we were out of Vietnam as a fighting force.
Yeah.
But to watch Saigon on an exponential scale in Afghanistan was a signal to the rest of the world that America is bereft of strength and leadership.
And let's just compare those side by side for a moment, because those images are still so iconic today. To have 5-10 people trying to climb onto the skids of a Huey, not hundreds climbing onto an actual transport plane, flying thousands of feet into the air and then falling to their death.
That's
so
right.
there's a multiplicity of worstness, if you will.
Right. And there's another connection. I was in Grand Rapids this weekend at the Gerald Ford Library. And President Ford, to his great credit, ordered the Air Force to launch to halt the North Vietnamese invasion of the South. But because it was the Watergate era, he had to go through the Congress. There was one particular senator who objected, who stood in the way. He is now the president of the United States. And I saw many of those memories come back with Afghanistan as we slowly watched the map change. At a time when the power of the United States Air Force would have decimated the Taliban, and yet we had dithering from this White House, just as we had a junior senator use the power that an individual senator has to try to disrupt the plans of the President of the United States to rescue our friends in South Vietnam. It is a lamentable story. And it is 40, now 50 years of failure.
I have to ask you on the positive side, having served in the British Territorial Army, I have my red poppy with my unit insignia in it. The British military culture has an extra dimension to the American because of the history of the regiments.
Yes.
How did you find that? Because you hung around with these people in their regimental headquarters.
I thought it was, it certainly was eye-opening. And the continuation of a regiment's particular history. I'll give you an example. The Parachute Regiment in its last iteration before someone gets that red beret. They're in Wales, as you know. And the regimental commander goes down the ranks interviewing each one of these young men. And he asks them, what happened at Market Garden?
Mm-hmm.
what happened in North Africa, and you see them going through the history of those regiments, I think we would be better served, and I've advocated this for a long time, if we allowed more of our soldiers, and the Army in particular, to homestead within a regiment, meaning spend more time at a Fort Bragg, attach yourself for your career.
And build that esprit de corps.
And build that up.
Which is essential to the sense of identity for the regiment, which helps in times of war as well. We're talking to Secretary of Veterans Affairs, Robert Wilkie. He's now Senior National Security Contributor for Newsmax, a colleague of mine there. This is America First. If you enjoy the show as much as we love providing it for you, be sure to subscribe. Go to Spotify, look up America First, look up my name. It's absolutely free. Guarantee that you never, ever miss an episode. Write a little review and share the links, especially the one with President Trump. If you haven't done so already, be sure to register for our Stand With Israel tour 10 days later this year. We are traveling to the Holy Land with the director, no less, of 2,000 Mules, Dinesh D'Souza, and his lovely wife. I'm not vaccinated and I'm going, so you have no excuse not to join us. Even if you've been to Israel, you haven't been with me or Dinesh. Please sign up today. Reserve your tickets for the trip of a lifetime. Call 855-565-5519. That's 855-565-5519. StandWithIsraelTour.com. That's StandWithIsraelTour.com. Dear friends, you know my friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their lives. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Now Mike has done it again by introducing his My Slippers. For a limited time, you'll get $90 off a pair of My Slippers. This blowout sale of the year won't last, so order now. They took over 2 years to develop. They're designed to wear indoor and out. I've already worn out my first pair of My Slippers, and they're made with the same amazing My Pillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue and lined with real suede. Call 800-829-8468. Use promo code Gorka for that massive discount, or just go to mypillow.com and click on the radio listener square and put in the secret code GORKA. This offer won't last long. You won't regret it. They are the best slippers I have ever owned. And $90 off MyPillow.com. Do it today. Promo code GORKA. I feel like I have to dive in straight.
Well, I want to interrupt you for a second because I left one story out.
Please.
My childhood in England. I mentioned.
Does
being
it involve
able,
Doctor Who?
No, but it involves
Manchester Football
Field
Club.
Field Marshal Lord Montgomery.
Oh my gosh, Monty. Okay, tell us the story.
So this Monty, this is 1972. And he comes to Lark Hill, which is the School of Artillery. And he lectures the cadre. And the commandant, brigadier, gets to ask him a question, one question. Field Marshal, who were the three greatest generals in history? And without skipping a beat, Montgomery said the other two were Napoleon and Alexander.
That's fabulous. That's fabulous. That's good.
That's right.
I want to jump into current geopolitical issues, but before we do that, because you have this unique position of all the people I know of our generation, I think we're of similar age.
Yeah.
You have a unique perspective, not only because you've served in more than one arm of the United States Armed Forces. You've seen one of our closest allies, if not one of the closest allies, from within inside their military culture. And also, you've had civilian responsibility at the highest levels for readiness, which is really the measure of a capacity of a nation to go to war. And then you've helped our veterans and really rebuilt the administration in an atmosphere where we were told it would be impossible to reform, and you did it under the Trump administration. So tell us, give us the thumbnail sketch, what do they call it in D.C., the elevator pitch for what has happened with readiness in our military and what needs to be done in the second Trump administration.
What is happening is frightening. The Pentagon has been politicized. And let me tell you what the difference is between a Trump, Bush, Reagan way of running government as opposed to a Clinton, Obama, Biden. Under the Democrat model, cabinet secretaries are clerks. The White House runs everything.
So, you're an executor, right?
Right.
Right.
I'll give you one of the departments today in the Trump administration. There was one White House employee in the department. The only job he had was to make sure that the department knew what was coming out of the different councils that the White House oversees, the Domestic Policy Council. In that department today, there are 35 White House employees.
What?
Every letter gets a check for political sanity. And again, the cabinet secretaries are just placeholders. Under the Trump-Reagan model, the White House gives broad guidance and lets people go.
There's a vision. And then you have to
implement.
And then
you do it. President Trump let me loose.
What was the vision? What did he tell you had to do, Robert?
Fix it. That's it. He said, I don't want to know how you do it.
Just fix the VA.
But that's the way a leader should be.
Right.
I'm not going to tell you how to
do it. I'm not here to micromanage.
But we have to... I'll just reiterate what he told me that first time. You have to restore morale and get people healthy. So we went from dead last in terms of best places to work in government to number five within 2 years.
My gosh.
We set a record for the number of appointments served to veterans. It was a complete turnaround. And then when the emergency hit, morale was so high and the efficiency was so good that we were able to send about 5,000 employees out into the country, everywhere from Navajo land to New York, to support the rest of the country.
How many people did you, when you were appointed secretary to clean up the VA, right, did the president say, oh, and you can bring 20 people with you or 50 people with you? Or did you just go in there and start sweeping
clean? Well,
it's
interesting. He did ask me a question. He said, what are you going to do to populate the leadership? And I said, I have one request. I want people who either come from an extensive military background or come from a military family. I said, why is that key? I said, Mr. President, in the last administration, VA was a dumping ground for a bunch of Ivy League types who wanted a fancy title on the resume.
Right.
That's what led to Phoenix and all of the disasters, men dying in hallways.
A sinecure.
Yeah, that's exactly, right. Exactly. By bringing these people in, we had instant credibility. We understood the culture. We spoke the language. And for people like me who've lived through it in terms of watching family members who have been gravely wounded and watching the toll on families for those who did not come back, I think it was very important. And that changed the trajectory of the organization. The hardest part of it was dealing with this town. And I've said this before. There are so many people invested in the failure of VA because it's so easy to get up on a soapbox.
Yeah.
And when you have this nasty symbiotic relationship between the press and the Democrats in Congress, It designed not to help veterans, just designed to destroy. And Kellyanne talked about that last night, that the national media, instead of looking for who, what, where, and why, they just set about to destroy people who were with Trump.
Yeah.
She was talking about her little children getting calls from reporters.
Yeah, it's truly sick, and it will be a challenge. We spoke about the president's second term when he was on the show on Thursday, and it will be overcoming the left's plan to make sure that decent people don't serve in a Republican administration. Dear friends, this is a free market enterprise. We do not receive a penny from the taxpayer. We don't get $500 million like NPR. Please support those that make this show possible. Friends of the president, great patriots like Mike Lindell. Go to MyPillow.com. Michelangelo.com. Use my name and Mike will give you up to 66% off his line of more than 150 products. Right now, my favorite is the sheepskin-lined, memory foam-lined My Slippers. $90 off if you use my name. Go today, MyPillow.com, promo code Gorka, or just call 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468. MyPillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
If you haven't done so already, dear friends, please visit our website where you can find every element of the show, sebgorka.com, and click at the very top. There's a brand new tab called Breaking the Cycle of Crime. You'll learn an incredible series of inspiring stories from the Prison Fellowship Academy. Houston resident LaDavid Taylor spent 20 years in prison. But he is a graduate of the Prison Fellowship Academy, where he learned leadership skills and how the gospel can transform a man to become a productive member of their community once they return to life outside. The academy even prepared LaDavid to adjust to how society outside prison has undergone rapid changes while he was inside. Just listen to Mr. Taylor.
Just the hands-on, the experience that I got, the preparation before coming home, coming from after 20 years, society is not what it was when I left, the same. So me returning after 20 years to a modern society, the hands-on training, the hands-on classes, the one-on-one, it was necessary to be successful.
It is a blessed, blessed mission. Less than 1% of those who go through the academy end up back in prison. That is how low the recidivism rate is with people who have found Christ. I'd love for you to find out more about the fellowship and also to receive their 14-day devotional written by prisoners. Please go to sebgorka.com and click on the Prison Fellowship Academy. That's sebgorka.com and click on the Prison Fellowship Academy banner at the very top. You had one more thing you wanted to share with us about working for...
An instruction from the president that was sublime. He looked at me, he said, Robert, go to the country. And I cocked my head, and then he filled in the blank. He said, go talk to the veterans where they live. He said, outflank D.C. Talk to them in Wyoming and Montana and New York. I went to 50 states.
As secretary,
plus the territories, with the exception of the Virgin Islands. But you would be shocked as to how right Trump was. I show up in San Antonio, 10th largest city in the country.
Yeah.
For the Air Force, it is Military City, USA.
Right.
And I walk into the Audie Murphy Veterans Medical Center. And he grew up right outside of San Antonio. And they're looking at me and say, you're the first secretary we've ever seen.
Are you serious?
The 10th largest city in the country, in a state where one out of every eight citizens is a veteran.
Wow.
And it had an incredible effect. The other thing that flowed from that, the president said, Robert, give the people at the hospitals authority. What he meant was push decision-making out of D.C. to the people who are closest to the patients.
Right.
And we did. And morale soared. Because I've never been a doctor, never played one on television. And the notion of me handing out medical missives from the 10th floor of a building in D.C. for a population as diverse as the veterans population in this country. One other thing. And this goes to something that is not appreciated about President Trump. He said, where do you think your presence could help us in the globe? That's how he put it. I said, in the Pacific. I said, our protectorates, Micronesia, Palau, Marshall Islands, they have contracts with us. They send their young people to the armed forces. We have not paid attention to them, and I know the Chinese are coming. And we've seen that this week.
Yeah.
With my friend David Penleu, who is the president of the Federated States of Micronesia, told the Chinese to pound sand when they asked Micronesia to join their version of the old Japanese East Asian co-prosperity sphere. But I went to those protectorates ahead of the Chinese. And the funniest story, I think I started an international incident, but the president loved it. The Chinese sent to the inauguration of the president of Micronesia their version of a political commissar. I think he was the political chief of the transportation ministry. Well, I'm a minister of state, so he has to sit down the line.
Mm-hmm.
And just typical bully, he comes up to me and he says, how many veterans do you have? I said, well, we have 20 million. He said, we'll always have more veterans than you. I said, well, there is a difference. Our veterans become veterans by shooting the enemies of the United States. Your veterans become veterans by killing their own people.
Oh, my gosh.
And I looked at his translator and said, you translate every word of that. I didn't see him again.
I think you're a perfect fit for the Trump administration, Robert.
But, you know, I reported that back to the president. But you saw then, even in some places small as Micronesia,
yeah,
the bullying.
Well, and this was why it was so exciting to be not only in the White House, but before that to be on the transition team, because we didn't waste any time. I was working for Mike Flynn and for General Flynn. And one of the first things we did is we reached out to our Asian partners, and we created relations immediately for President Trump with Abe and others. And let me just say, as somebody who was there at the creation, as they say, of the Trump administration, just the relief from those nations of that region who said, finally, we're not at the mercy of this communist bully, and America wants to actually treat us like their friends again. It was a true moment of you know, pride for me to be on that. We're talking to the senior national security contributor for Newsmax, former Secretary of Veterans Affairs in the Trump administration. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First One-on-One, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Now, as I've said before on this show, it's funny. When I was with Fox, when I was a contributor for Fox, they'd book you a day out. They'd send you the topic, and then they'd send these bullet points. This is now inside baseball for everybody. And they'd expect you to react to the bullet points via email before you came on air, which is often pointless because by the time you're on air, they change the story on you completely. But anyway, we don't do any of that because we have guests who know what they're talking about and who can think on their feet. So we don't get permission or, you know, author. Even with the president, they said, what topics would you like to talk about with the president? We gave, you know, three topics, and then we talked about six different ones. So I haven't rehearsed this with you, and I hope you will indulge me, Secretary Wilkie. I need to talk about what happened in Texas last week.
Yes.
Because I think it feeds into what you've done for a living. It feeds into the fact that you've worn two uniforms of this nation's military. And what I tweeted out 5 days ago is a very simple observation. Why is anybody surprised if you attack faith, if you attack the family unit, if you say that masculinity is a bad thing? Nobody should be surprised, whether it's Parkland, whether it's this instance in Uvalde. The fact is, talking to you, it occurs to me, the other thing I should have added to that list, when we have denuded society of any sense of the innate value of service to something greater than oneself, if we live in an era of hedonism for 20-somethings, purposelessness, then this will happen again and again and again, will it not?
Well, let's add one more point.
Yes.
The innate goodness of the United States of America.
Exactly.
The only country in the history of the world to offer a helping hand to all of the peoples of the world, including her enemies.
Yeah.
And yet we are subjected, our children are subjected, to the Howard Zinn version of American history.
Which has become dominant in higher education.
Higher education and in the White House.
Yes.
You know, somebody asked me about problems with desertion and recruitment, particularly in the United States Navy. Well, I took that to the entire armed forces, recruitment. What do you expect when these children are taught that America is the font of all evil, that it is a repressive society, that it has bludgeoned other peoples in order to gain wealth? What do you expect when they are taught this from day one? And I also, as you and I have talked about, the renaming of the military installations. I grew up at Fort Bragg. My father was a senior officer in the 82nd Airborne Division, as I mentioned. This is not, the Confederacy is the low-hanging fruit. This is about erasing the next group, Washington, Jefferson, Madison. And if you don't believe that, right down the road from where we are sitting in Lexington, Virginia, Washington and Lee University has now removed the picture of George Washington from the diploma. They removed General Lee a few years ago, but Washington came off this year. So it is much deeper than naming or renaming posts across the country. Churchill used to say, if we don't keep our children enthused about our history, then you can sell it. You can sell the country because nothing's worth it.
So let's try and put something positive on that. So you grew up around the men who had served in Vietnam. You saw what had happened to the military before and after Vietnam.
My father had to arm himself to go into barracks at Fort Bragg in the mid-70s because you talk about extremism. You had biker gangs, drug gangs, Black Panthers. And that was just at Fort Bragg.
Right.
And the officers would have to, and these were elite troops. These weren't conscripts.
Yeah. So let me ask you, in that case, if we could create the army of the 1980s after the army of the 1960s and 70s, can, under requisite leadership, such as President Trump and others, can we bring back the woke military to where it was before?
Yes. The military has reached two different nadirs. The nadir of the 1970s was just pure exhaustion of both military and society because of Vietnam. Now, the nadir is reached because a profession that has traditionally been above politics is now thoroughly politicized.
Yes.
And if you don't believe me, and you should probably ask him to come on to talk about it, Senator Cotton just eviscerated the Secretary of the Army because they've done away with physical standards.
Yeah.
They've done away. I think the pass is now 10 sit-ups and 10 push-ups.
Oh, my gosh.
And they're getting they've done away with what MOS, Military Occupational Specialty, standards. So for the infantry, you'd have a different standard. For special forces, you'd have a different standard. They've done away with that. In the name of equity, they're destroying the military. We have to get back to basics. It can be done, but it's going to require a house cleaning. It's going to require a reassessment at every level, from basic training to the schools that we are surrounded by here in this community.
Yeah, including the JPME higher learning schools where I served for 5.5 years.
Yeah, absolutely. When you've got officers, colonels, brigadier generals, lieutenant colonel, telling you that in this day and age, the number one threat that the United States of America faces is climate change.
Or white rage.
You have a serious, serious problem.
Yeah. And the thing is, our enemies know that.
They do.
Our enemies are laughing, and our enemies the perception they have is that America is weak. And when your enemy thinks you are weak, that is when they take action. It is not a coincidence that Ukraine was invaded shortly after the collapse of Afghanistan, the surrender of America in Afghanistan.
And no coincidence that it was invaded during the Obama administration.
Yes, exactly, exactly. When America is run by people who hate America, then those who hate America elsewhere, they make hay while the sun shines. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First One-on-One, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Secretary Wilkie, I'd like you to, in our last few moments here, send a message out to two different interconnected groups in America today. First, those who are still in the military and are having to undergo their diversity, equity, and inclusion training, are being lectured about transgenderism and everything else. What is your message to them? And then what is your message to the 15-year-old, the 16-year-old who wanted to serve his nation but is questioning that decision now?
Well, I think the answer is the same for both groups.
Okay.
And that is, don't give up on America. This is the only country in the world where people fight and die to come to.
Yes.
That seems to be lost on our left-wing friends, I guess on purpose. And that the values that undergird the military are values that you will take with you for the rest of your life. But don't give up. You have the ability to block out the nonsense, concentrate on what you came in the military to do, and that is learn your craft and serve. This too will pass. It will certainly pass in 2 years. I think the halt will come at the end of this election cycle, where they're not going to be able to pass any nonsense.
You mean the midterms will slow them down?
It will, because they're not going to be able to get anything through the Congress.
But this
requires a deeper answer, though, and that is the reform of American education at all levels. Forget the colleges. I'm more concerned about elementary schools and high schools, because if you're right there, then there's nothing the colleges are going to do to you. But it is frightening. It is frightening when you listen to people who are in charge at the Pentagon and the State Department and the White House, and it comes across as that these people don't like this country.
Yeah, it is the most perverse.
And I'll leave you with one statistic, and I thank President Trump for this, and I should have added it earlier. When President Trump inherited VA, according to CNN, had a 37% approval rate.
Mm-hmm.
When President Trump left, it was 91%.
Oh, my gosh.
And this administration has stopped
measuring.
It stopped measuring.
I wonder why. Well, they said it couldn't be done, and he did it in the Trump administration, so we can do it again. But it's up to us. It's up to the midterms. It's up to you getting engaged politically, and it's up to getting President Trump and his team back in the White House. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Be sure to be subscribed. Go to Spotify. Plug in my name. Never miss an episode of One on One. And wherever you are, whatever you're doing, keep your head on a swivel. Watch your six. Hold the line. Never give up. Never give in. And stay frosty.
Fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you, the rest of the world hears you, and the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America... This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Welcome, dear friends. Greetings. This is America First with me, your host, Dr. G. I hope you had a blessed, blessed Memorial weekend. We have so much to discuss. It feels like a Monday. It's a Tuesday, but it is a high news day. Breaking news from the Sussman trial. We will cover that. Also, the latest pronouncements from the man in the White House. But first, here's some good news. Here's something we can celebrate. Over the weekend, with my best buddy here in the United States, I went to the movie. It was rather crowded, I'm happy to say, even for the early showing of the movie, which made, I think, $160 million this weekend. It is Top Gun Maverick. If you're on social media, you will see all kinds of content about Top Gun Maverick, the sequel that is occurring 34 years from the first Top Gun. Let me give you my take and why people are celebrating this movie. If you go back in time, if you've seen the first one, funnily enough, my wife and I decided to stream Top Gun, the original, just last week. I guess we were preparing for the second one, although I didn't know it was going to be any good at all. And you realize that the original was the quintessence of the 1980s, a film that single-handedly resulted in a 500% increase of applicants to the U.S. Navy's fighter plane or the U.S. Navy Aviator program. It was a celebration of that period, of America, of the Reagan era. Now, almost four decades later, Hollywood, well, has been captured. It's been captured by those who believe in political correctness, the synonym of which is, in fact, censorship, that are woke, that believe that the most important thing is to placate the communist Chinese market so their films can be made there and to fit into the latest trend in the local politics here in America, be it transgenderism, be it Black Lives Matter, social justice, or as a very good reviewer called The Critical Drinker on YouTube calls it, the message. Top Gun doesn't do any of that, and neither does the sequel. For those who haven't seen it, close your ears! It's about the hero of the first movie, Pete Mitchell, now captain in the Navy, who's been, I don't know, floating in the rank of captain for 15 years. Should be an admiral by now, shouldn't you, Pete? Going back to train the best of the best, a group of pilots who have been chosen for a very dangerous mission behind enemy lines to destroy a nuclear weapons facility just before it comes online to prevent that nation from becoming a nuclear nation that could threaten America and her allies. Pete Mitchell struggles with this because he says, "I'm not a teacher." He actually is reunited with Val Kilmer, the actor who played Iceman, who's in real life very sick, having bouts of throat cancer. He actually appears in the movie playing an admiral who is dying of cancer. Very nicely handled scene with Val Kilmer. And Val says, "You're the best. You got to teach them." So he teaches them in the way that a maverick only can, breaking the rules, breaking the regulations for training, and pushing them, including the son of his former Rio, his former radar officer who was killed in that accident from the first movie. A lot of tension between Goose's son, call sign Rooster, and the captain. Now, why is it a good movie? A lot of people have focused on the same things, technical things. And technically, it is. It is a marvelous film. If you recall the slightly hokey first Top Gun, you could tell that Val Kilmer, Tom Cruise, and everybody else were sitting in mock-ups of cockpits, being shook by the gaffer, by the key grip, in front of a green screen or rear projection.
None of that in this movie. In this movie, I think there's nary any CGI even, except perhaps for a certain Soviet helicopter that is blown out of the air. The rest of it, the dogfighting, which is incredible photography, the high-speed nap of the earth flying, and the scenes from inside the cockpit where they put IMAX cameras inside real jet aircraft, there's no faking it. You see these people being pushed back by the G-forces, the sockets of their eyes expanding. Yeah, it's amazing. It's real. And it goes to, you know, Tom Cruise's reputation for getting rather deeply serious about his acting and stunts. Thank you. Yes, Eric, let's play that trailer again as a bit of B-roll. So technically, it's good. The acting is good. Not because Tom Cruise is a great actor. Stop it, guys, with this is the last great Hollywood actor. No, he's not a good actor. He's good at playing Tom Cruise. Yes? A cocky, snarky, egomaniac who is fun to watch. It's like Sean Connery. Sean Connery was great at playing Sean Connery. Okay? It was like Clint Eastwood, who, by the way, happy birthday to Clint Eastwood. So the acting is good because he's playing himself. The technical aspects are superb. But what really, really marks this film out are the values around which the story is built. Firstly, it celebrates service to something outside of yourself. Service to the mission, to the cause, to the nation, to keeping citizens of this country safe. It also celebrates sacrifice, whether it's the sacrifice of Rooster's father Goose, or whether it's the sacrifice of these young fighter bomber pilots who are potentially going on a suicide mission to protect their fellow man. And then lastly, as I was watching, as an immigrant, and I was reminded today by Chris Plant, thank you, Chris, this is the 10th anniversary. This year will be the 10th anniversary of me becoming an American. I didn't even realize, but thank you, Chris. Sitting in that darkened cinema, watching Top Gun Maverick, I had a new understanding of what America is, or at least one of the key characteristics of this, the greatest nation on God's earth. And it has something to do with the real fighter pilots, the real best of the best, the real Miramar Top Gun students. And that's excellence. As I tweeted after the movie, so much about America is and has to do with excellence. The best of the best, brooking no compromise, never, ever giving up. And if you understand that, if you understand how much the American character is shaped by the concept of excellence, you'll understand why this movie resonates. Why Hollywood originally resonated with the same message of excellence. And why you and I are joined because of that concept. We're never going to sacrifice that. And we're never going to surrender to those who think America is the problem and hate that excellence. Dear friends, go and see it. But first, you got to see 2,000 Mules, of course. It is Top Gun Maverick. It is the sequel. I'm Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Trump, member of the National Security Education Board of the Pentagon. Make sure that you are subscribed to this show. Go to Spotify, plug in America First, and my name. Write a review, share the links. Never miss an episode. Back with the Galactic Grandmaster.
Thank you.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.